Could we have foreseen it? We will never escape that question. Even those of my brothers who might unequivocally answer no will still have that question circle back to them, to be dealt with again and again. Could I have foreseen it? I should have. I had the lesson of Galen. I should have understood the consequences of Monarchia. I had other chances, too. The evidence was before me. There were inferences to be made. But I did not see. The precise nature of my blindness is what I still work to determine. I will not succumb to the temptation to say the correct analysis will prevent another such tragedy. There can never be another. The worst has happened, and the best is gone forever. Gilliman, Journal Entry 120, M31. Chapter 9. Treasure, Throne, Mist. Gilliman drove the Hand of Dominion through the orc before him. The blow disintegrated the brute immediately behind. Gilliman fired the Arbitrator through the gap and created a larger one. He parted the wall of orcs and moved that much closer to the center of the chamber. Behind him, his sons advanced at a steady pace, destroying all flesh before them. The advance into the cavern was not a charge. The gunfire could not be indiscriminate. There could be no absence of precision, not here. The orcs attacked with no thought of the place they were so bent on retaining. The Ultramarines' column gave them a target for their crude slugs. The legionaries absorbed the hits and marched on in a straight line through the center of the cavern. They did not take shelter. There was none to take. Theoretical, the possibility of accidental detonation is slight, or it would have happened long ago. Practical, do not put that analysis to the test unnecessarily. The cavern ceiling was over 300 feet high. The mural that had once covered it was almost completely blackened by smoke. The space was enormous, and the orcs had erected huge patchwork metal icons across the floor and on every level of decking. Snarling grotesques loomed over the ultramarines. Torch flames waved between their gaping jaws. Piles of debris rose 50 feet or more. The orcs capered and howled and fired from their peaks. They swarmed over the hills of scrap and detritus, shrieking war and outrage. Many were massive brutes, as large as the ones that had cornered Iasis's survivors of the 22nd. They lumbered forwards now for a final assault, determined to keep what was theirs. The orcs' treasures lined the perimeter of the chamber. They rested in pyramidal stacks on decks projecting from the walls. They waited in adamantium crates, nesting one on top of the other in towers 30 feet high. They were missiles, bombs, rockets, and shells. The largest of the missiles were the size of death strikes. The shells could arm a Baneblade tank. The icons on the armaments were as unfamiliar to Gilliman as the others he had seen in the fortress. The shapes of the weapons were not. Standard template construct technology had once been in use on Thoas. The STCs themselves might be long gone, but their terrible work remained. The shapes of the missiles told him much. The crimson icons, enough of them still visible beneath the orc vandalism, were clear warnings. And in the first minutes of the assault on the cavern, Dymas, the tech marine of the second destroyers, confirmed Gilliman's suspicions. His Auspex scan picked up the trace elements in the atmosphere. Over the centuries, the monstrous weapons in the storage site had tainted the air, as if the darkness of their way of war were contagious. "The radiation spike is extreme," Dymas said. "Rad weapons of all types. The shells are primarily Phosphex. Some are bioalchem. So are some of the missiles." "Can you identify the type?" Gilliman asked. "No. In addition, some of the readings are confusing. Theoretical, there are weapons here that combine some of all of these characteristics." Gilliman fired again, picking up speed as he blasted the orcs from his path. He grimaced in distaste. These were the weapons of last resort, stored in such quantity they seemed to be instead this civilization's weapons of choice. His reluctant intuition was proving correct. He did not like the revelation of this cavern. What kind of a culture was he rediscovering for imperial history? The orcs could not use the technology, yet they recognized enormous destructive power. Somehow, in the century or more in which they had made Thoas theirs, they had not triggered their own destruction. It was as if the weapons would not deign to be expended in so mundane a fashion. Around the stockpiles were greenskin assemblages that were part workshop, part altar. They celebrated the great weapons and tried to construct their own. Stunted, crooked missiles stood in a ragged cluster before the rows of monsters. Orcish shells were piled high before their models. It is, Gilliman thought, as if the orcs hope their creations will absorb the mysterious power of the relics they have found simply by being in close proximity to them. The orcs did more than mimic the things they had found. They sought to use them. Even if they could never be successful, they would try until death. It was the result of their efforts that Gilliman rushed towards. It was in the center of the cavern, and it was the center of the Orc Empire. It was the heart of the madness and the soul of barbaric war. The throne of destruction towered over everything else in the cavern. The orcs had constructed it by piling up ordnance. Missiles, rockets, bombs, and shells formed a giant heap. It was a mound more than the throne, a mountain of crawling, burning, agonizing death. The Orc Emperor sat at the peak. There was no design to the hill, though Gilliman could see how the ruling greenskin had shaped the pile to conform to its bulk. It was huge, bloated with muscle and savage greed. It was twice the size of any orc Gilliman had seen on Thoas. It was as broad as a dreadnought. It wore a crown made of the deadly shells. Its armor was a piston-driven framework of iron and steam. Pipes higher than the monster's head spewed flame. Strapped to its legs and its arms were more shells. Its hide was a mass of scars and burns. The seat of empire, Gilliman thought. This orc existed at what it believed to be a pinnacle. It exalted itself in its fury. Gilliman stared at a grotesque being ruling a gutted empire from the top of a construct of ruin. It had to be exterminated. The extermination had to be total. Captain Hyrax, Gilliman voxed, destroy the greenskins by any means necessary. Do you understand?
I do, Lord Gilliman.
The orc stood when it saw Gilliman. It opened its maw wide and roared a challenge. It took two ponderous steps down from its throne. Gilliman butchered his way through the last of the greenskins between him and the huge mound. The surrounding horde screamed at him, but the lesser orcs did not follow as he started to climb the hill. He half expected the shells to roll and shift when he set foot on the slope. The heap was surprisingly stable. It would have to be, Gilliman thought, not to collapse under the weight of the beast. The ordnance appeared to have been stacked at random. Perhaps it had been, but the casings of the shells and bombs and rockets had been welded to each other. The mountain was an act of insanity, Gilliman thought, or, perhaps, faith. The perfect exemplar of the equivalence of the two words. As he climbed, he removed the Hand of Dominion. He could not use it on this throne. If he struck the weapons, the gauntlet's energy field would disrupt the matter of their casings. He would unleash what the orcs had somehow failed to. He would not complete the former civilization's madness. He maglocked the Hand of Dominion to his belt and took up the Gladius Incandor once again. Precision, he thought. That was the only route to victory here. Every blow must be deliberately placed. There could be no error. The Orc Emperor charged down the slope. It wielded an immense chain hammer. The head of the weapon was a huge lumpen mass. Multiple chains whirled around it. Gilliman eyed the weapon and pictured what it could do to the wrong target with that much power behind its blows. Practical. Strategic sacrifice will be necessary. Gilliman leapt up to meet his foe. They clashed at the midpoint of the mountain. The orc swung the hammer one-handed. Gilliman fired at the weapon's head. The shells of the arbitrator punched craters into the dense metal. One of the chains broke and flew off, a spinning scythe of teeth. It sliced into the orc's face, opening a diagonal wound from its left eye to the right of its lower jaw. The orc bellowed. It smashed its left fist against Gilliman's flank, slamming him against the head of the hammer. He gasped. It was like being crushed between walls. Pain sparked along his frame. He had expected it, and he had already adjusted his strike, adding more force to compensate for the shock and the wound. Incandor slashed through the framework of the orc's armor and the tendons of its left arm. The limb sagged. The beast snarled. With a brutish form of warrior's pride, it hit back with its wounded arm. Instead of blocking, Gilliman absorbed the blow. The servo motors of his armor whined in protest at the speed of his movement, and still the orc knocked him off his feet. He fell against the weapons. Welding gave way, and now the casings did shift. The orc reached him in a single stride. The next move in the battle became clear. Gilliman delayed rising, so the orc did what he wished. It used both hands to raise the hammer high over its head. It was preparing a killing blow. A blow that cost it seconds. Gilliman shoved himself up and to the right, up the slope, scattering explosives. Shells rolled down the slope, a foretaste of a dreadful avalanche. The hammer came down. It plunged deep into the throne. Shells exploded. Fire and shrapnel sprayed Gilliman and the Emperor. Hunched, the orc yanked at the wedged hammer. Gilliman leapt. Level with the orc's head, he plunged Incandor into the beast's right eye. It howled and jerked its head back, stumbling a step down the slope. It swung the hammer wildly. Contingency, chance, luck. The perversities of war that were the cancer on any rational strategy. They served the orc in this moment. The hammer struck Gilliman as he landed. It hit him on the shoulders and drove him down into the mound. His pauldrons cracked wide, his spine ignited with sulphurous agony. The surface gave way completely beneath his right leg, and he had no leverage. He put all of his weight on his left leg and lunged out of the depression just as the orc recovered its balance and aimed another blow at him. Gilliman had no choice. This time he could not let the blow connect. He sidestepped left. The hammer dislodged more shells. A tremor shook the mound. The shock of each impact spread through the construct. The welds were the weak point, and broke first. Gilliman and the orc stood on a leviathan that was slowly waking to rolling life. Below, the chamber was a sea of coordinated bolter fire. The 22nd and the destroyers were forcing the green tide to recede. Gilliman moved into the orc's blind side, reaching in to strike with Incandor. He held the arbitrator ready, but pulled the trigger only when he was sure of the shell's trajectory. He fired into the central mass of the beast, blowing away its armor plating and stitching explosions across the monster's chest, but it was too consumed by its hate to notice. The orc wound up for another two-handed strike with the hammer, this time from the side. Analysis. Seeing the arc of the coming blow, its force and its consequences in a microsecond. Do not absorb this blow. Do not let it strike the mound. Gilliman charged the orc, ramming his shoulders into its torso. The beast was too huge to topple, but he was now too close for the orc to hit him with its hammer. It dropped the weapon and grabbed Gilliman with its claws. It lifted him from the ground, squeezing with a strength that could powder granite. It lifted him high, bellowing in triumph. The vice of absolute brutish strength tightened around his torso. Even with its primitive armor damaged, the orc had the power to crush him in seconds. The monster knew it had won. It held him like a trophy, savoring the moment of destruction. These were seconds during which the orc did not move. It did not evade. They were the seconds Gilliman needed. The seconds he had foreseen. His arms were free. He brought up the arbitrator and fired a sustained burst into the orc's face. The remaining eye burst. The jaw disintegrated. Gilliman fired into the maw and the neck exploded. The skull drooped, and the crown of shells fell off. Gilliman kept firing, straight down through the head. The shells stopped by the huge mass of the body, detonating in the orc, never reaching the stacked ordnance. The orc's grip loosened, but it held him for almost 5 seconds after he had reduced its head to a gelatinous mass of bone fragments. At last, the arms fell away. Gilliman landed on the shells. The mound shifted again. The huge body fell. It rolled and slid down the slope. The mass of armaments began to lose coherence, slumping forwards through the cavern. At the sight of their murdered emperor, the orcs despaired. They cried out in anguish and confusion. Gilliman strode down from the fallen throne, sending death before him. The surviving greenskins fled. The horde flowed out of the cavern. The orcs abandoned their icons and their unusable treasures. They sought the strength in their numbers. They followed a channel Hyrax had left open to them, out of the cavern. Gilliman walked through the cavern, shooting at the fleeing enemy, picturing what would be happening beyond the entrance. On the ramp, there would be thousands of orcs now. They would fill the space. Their ferocity would turn them around. They would attack again, which was what Hyrax wanted them to do. By any means necessary, Gilliman thought. I have decreed what will happen now. I accept it. These two are my sons. Gilliman neared the entrance as Lavius's autocannon arm launched rad-poisoned shells into the front lines of the orcs. While the forward portion of the Horde milled in confusion and blood, the destroyers launched some of the very rockets the orcs had so long claimed as their own. At last, they witnessed the power within. The rockets burst in the air above the Horde, releasing the green mist of Phosphex. It ignited and fell on the orcs. White-green flame writhed like a wounded animal. The orcs shrieked in agony. The Horde boiled with panic and sought to flee. The rapid movement attracted the Phosphex, spreading it wider and wider. Metal dissolved, flesh burned to bone. The greenskins vanished in a growing conflagration. Gilliman watched the expansion of crawling, atrocious death. It took a long time for the Horde to burn. Where the mist had fallen, the ground would be tainted forever. This sector of the ruins would be rendered unusable. Gilliman found the idea of the permanent loss of Thoas's heritage no longer troubled him, as it once had. So he was not surprised when Gage voxed, "There is something you must see!"